We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Years. Andy Liu, the Warriors are officially frauds now. The Phoenix Suns have beat them. I don't even know where to start, but I'm trying to have a little fun here. That second half with the turnovers and the inability to generate offense, like, there's a lot of things to talk about in this game, but currently that is the bad taste that's in my mouth.
Yes. This was by far the worst game that the Warriors have played this season. Also, at the same time, is and was the biggest game the Warriors have played this season. So they hit a little, they hit both things at once. So they were awful in the biggest game of the year. And now they drop to an unsightly, Sam, 17-3 against 18, what is now
18-3
against what is now the best team in the league. We got to say that the best team in the league are the Phoenix Suns. So, yeah, ugly all around. I think mostly the main topic where we should start, Sam, as we always do, is Steph Curry tonight was especially bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to hit on in this game. Devin Booker leaving right before halftime was a major downer.
Sure.
Hamstring injury, I highly doubt he's playing on Friday. I can't think of anyone who leaves a game with a hammy.
If it was the playoffs, you'd play, but not in the fucking November. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's the last thing you want is him to actually get like the type of hammy thing that puts you out for 2 months. So anyway, but the Warriors are going to see them on Friday. They're also going to see him on Christmas. Fingers crossed, Mr. Klay Thompson will be back for that Christmas one. So we're going to see a lot of Phoenix in the next 3 weeks. But yeah, story of the game starts with Steph Curry, 4 for 21. Somehow that paints a generous picture for how terrible he was. I thought Phoenix defended him well,
yeah,
but they didn't defend him 4 for 21 well. It's like both things can be true. Mikal Bridges did an awesome job on him, was one of the better one-on-one defenders I've seen on Steph in terms of like not needing a ton of help. Because that's always the thing. People are like, oh, he can guard Steph. I'm like, yeah, with two guys helping him, he can, you know. But Mikal Bridges actually kind of guarded him one-on-one for most of the game. But with that said, I mean, Steph got switches on JaVale and airballed it.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with Mikal Bridges. That has to do with Steph playing awful.
Yeah, I 100%. I think the game started and ended with him just being – I don't know what he did. He started the day coming into the game dressed like a – I don't know what he was dressed like. I thought he was going to a pool party. I thought he was going into excess. Maybe he was going to Old Town. I know there's a
pool. Was it an ode to the Jordan pool party, which came out tonight?
Hey, we'll get to Jordan Poole because he was the only bright spot tonight. But the turnovers were especially terrible at the end of the game by Steph. Look, we got to be honest, right? Just not a good performance all around. He was hunting his shot, which I thought was nice. He thought he knew it was a big game, and I think he came out, he wanted to prove and get his shot up, but wasn't there. He couldn't get to the hole and finish. Part of that is because the lineups around him, they were playing Draymond Looney at the same time, and when that happens, Ayton's kind of just doesn't have to go anywhere else, right? He doesn't have to go out to the three-point line. So there wasn't much space out there for Steph, but to me, Sam, I think most of this is on Steph in that – look, I know Mikal Bridges is awesome. I know Ayton and Chris Paul knows all the plays, but great players miss shots sometimes. And I think if this were a playoff series, I think you could kind of chalk this up as, hey, Steph's not used to the type of length and the defense that the Suns are playing, but I assure you that on Friday, he's going to be a lot better. So I do think a lot of this is just, man, Steph just played like shit. And give the Suns credit, but I think it's Steph's used to this.
I think Mikal Bridges played excellent defense on him. And on a normal game, Steph goes 8 for 21, which is excellent defense. 4 for 21 is just Steph being bad. Like I said, he got JaVale on more than one switch. He airballed one of them. He bricked the other. He got Jay Crowder on switches. Jay's fine, but he's nothing Steph doesn't cook every other game of the season. You know, Mikal Bridges definitely gave him problems and made him a volume guy. A 4 of 21 is disgusting. That's way beyond any sort of defense. That's like you were open more than a few times. You couldn't make a shot. So it starts there. And then the second player, I guess we should talk about. And I think it's important because they're the two leaders of the team, Draymond Green. Draymond, I thought, played a good game defensively, and his energy was excellent. But there were too many periods offensively where he looked like the player last year. For about 2.5 quarters, he did that thing where he refused to shoot the ball. And it felt like a little bit of a regression there where he was doing that thing where he was just trying to get Steph in a dribble handoff and anything but shooting the ball. And, you know, I just hate when you reverse that sort of stuff. Like, no one's looking for Draymond to score 20 points. I'm just looking for him to play in the flow.
He looked like the Draymond from last season offensively, right? It just he knew he wasn't going to score against Ayton inside. He knew he couldn't get any shots up with Mikal Bridges around there. But Draymond, like, you can still shoot a 5-foot floater. Like, you throwing it in close quarters to Kevon Looney or trying to kick the ball around against this team with 3-4 different wings out there, it's not going to work. Right, you're gonna have to do something, especially in a game tonight where it's not like the Warriors were cooking on offense. Not the Warriors were fine on defense, but if the Warriors didn't score 100 points tonight, and if that happens, what's the worst that can happen if you're gonna shoot a shot? Right, like nobody's hot from the floor, and if they are, the Suns are smart enough to actually guard them and guard the guys that aren't good. So yeah, it looked a little bit like last season. I find it a little bit more concerning, Sam. But I think a lot of it is just kind of the rotations that Steve threw out there, or I should say the lineup combinations. Yeah. It's regular season. Steve's not going to shorten the rotation for a November game. But I think in the postseason, he'll probably cut some guys out, you know, kind of like Looney, for example. But that tough one from Draymond.
Let's talk about that. So that's the number one thing. The reason they lost this game was Steph couldn't hit a shot and 22 turnovers. And turnovers, in my opinion, are the bigger thing because, like, Steph's probably going to shoot the ball this poorly one more time this season. Like, it happens once every 20 games, right? That sort of thing. But the turnovers, that's actually an issue the Warriors have in certain games. And a lot of it's tied to the lineup combinations. Phoenix is a good team. We've never denied Phoenix is a good team. They're a Chris Paul team. They can defend. They're athletic. They're long. Not the type of team you should be playing Draymond and Looney together in for extended periods because it just shrinks the court. And it's just, I mean, how many of those turnovers were a function of, all right, we're not guarding this guy, we're not guarding this guy. So we can 100%. Play passing lanes. Yeah. So it's one of those where I'm like, you know, Steve could see how this looks, but I assume if they get into a playoff series against Phoenix, we will not see the Draymond Looney combo for 20 minutes.
Yeah, he's not going to do that. We know that. Steve has shown us he's not going to do that. A couple other substitutions and players that I thought maybe a little bit concerning was JTA was a problem tonight in that he wasn't good. Turnovers all over the place, didn't want to shoot the three. Basically was kind of a replica of Draymond Green out there. You know, there's comps of JTA to Andre Iguodala, but Andre Iguodala in games like this actually wouldn't turn the ball over, right? Like, he'd be the guy that's actually –
Andre doesn't turn the ball over
ever.
In general.
Yeah. And Andre wouldn't be scared to shoot the ball, right? And so JTA, if he's trying to learn from Andre Iguodala and be that type of wing player, like, that's the guy you want to be. And that you got to protect the ball in games like this. And you got to shoot the shots when you have the shots open. And he wouldn't do that today. We saw that last year a little bit too. So He's been good. But tonight, I think in this type of game, he wasn't ready. The other thing also, Sam, I thought was interesting is Gary Payton is a dog. Gary Payton is built to play in games like this. Play him. Chioza should. I get why Steve played Chioza, because Chioza doesn't turn the ball over. But GP2, he's built to play in these games. Play him.
Yeah. So want to mention Wiggins real quick. Had back spasms before the game. Looked like he was a little hurt. Looked like he was gutting it out. Yeah. I don't want to focus on him particularly. Admirable. He played through it. Not a particularly good game. Happens.
He should have played. Probably
not. But I do think they are also the combo of it being kind of a big game and sure. You're already down. Clay, who we always forget, and then Iguodala and Lee. Like at a certain point, it's like, do we even have any wings left?
Kuminga tonight. I would have been fun to see him out there. But I hope Andrew Wiggins gets healthy because back stuff, man. It's no joke. It's no joke. MPJ's done. His career might be over. So be careful. Be careful with the back.
Now there were two players who were good tonight, and they're two players we should talk about as maybe a positive. It's hard to take positives from just the way the Warriors played the second half. It is disgusting. But two players were positives for me: Jordan Poole and Otto Porter. So let's start on Poole. Poole was 9 for 15, 28 points, 5 assists. I mean, my big takeaway from this game is something I've felt for a while, which is this dude has big game confidence. Like I'm not worried about Jordan Poole getting shook by the moment. If anything, I'm a little concerned Jordan Poole might think he's the best player on the court when he should defer at times. But it's cool to see a guy who in a game that has some sort of, I don't want to say stakes, but everyone was looking forward to this game. Everyone knew it was a big game between the two best teams in the NBA right now. Jordan Poole is definitely a gamer, and he definitely gets up for this sort of stuff.
Best player on the team tonight. And just like you were saying, absolute baller, man. Got stones, came out here. The thing he's doing really well nowadays is he doesn't chuck up the first open initial three. He's learned from Steph. He's doing the pump fake step and then calmly shooting the three that's open after the guy flies by. Just that's the type of stuff that I think he's maturing. He made an absurdly good pass in transition to Gary Payton, turning down another open kind of 25-foot three-pointer. Dude, he's got the confidence Bill Simmons always has irrational confidence. He's got it in spades. Dude, he's going to have to play more. I just said GP2 should have played more instead of Chioza. Jordan Poole should have played more tonight. Kid's 22 years old, man. He doesn't need rest. Get him in the damn game. Let him ball out. He should have played damn near 38, 40 minutes tonight because he was the only thing that was good about the Warriors offensively tonight. Everybody else was dreadful. Besides, I guess, the next guy we're going to talk about.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the shot creation's a thing. I think his passing was really impressive tonight. The thing that has really grown for me with Jordan Poole since the beginning of the season is his passing. And maybe he's just in kind of a hot streak right now, but it feels like the last 5-6 games, he's been pretty sure-handed. Whereas early in the season and last year, it was he can make a nice pass and then he'll do something where you're like, I don't want the ball in your hands at all because I have no clue where your decision was. Even worse than Steph sometimes, right? So I think he's really coming into his own and he's a player the Warriors are going to have to play down the stretch against really good teams because the offense gets too bogged down. We know who Draymond is. They don't have Kevin Durant out there. They will have Klay Thompson at some point who will help. But having a secondary creator next to Steph alleviates a lot of pressure. And I'm not convinced he's not going to be closing games come playoff time. I don't feel like it's over him in any capacity. I don't feel like he's going to ever be afraid to do that sort of stuff.
No, he's big-time players play big in big-time games, Sam, as they say. And big-time game tonight, Jordan Poole showed up. Just – You don't get only a certain amount of players in the league have that, right? Have it. And he may not end up being a superstar, but he's going to make some huge shots and huge moments in his career for the Warriors, I think. And this proved that to me tonight, and I'm sure we'll see more of that moving forward.
Absolutely. The other player I wanted to mention is Otto Porter. Otto, 16 points. Yes, 16 points, 6 for 11 from the field, 4 threes. I think he's got to be maybe their second best big man now. Like, I mean, Draymond's their best interior guy. I'm not sure Otto is not the best guy next to him going forward. He played 30 minutes tonight. In those 30 minutes, the Warriors were up, I want to say 10 points. Yeah, plus 10. His shot making is so clinical. Like, he's probably the third best shooter on this team. Steph and Claire, obviously, on their own level. But, like, in terms of if he catches the ball with any sort of airspace and he's, like, semi-set, I think it's going in every time. And it just such a necessary piece for this team. Also, while he can't move that well defensively, he's really smart and he's pretty damn big that I think you can get away with him. Like, I didn't think he was that big a defensive liability. Chris Paul caught him a couple times on the mid-range shot, but it's like, okay, so Chris Paul hit a fading away 15-footer on you a couple times. Like, big deal, right? I think he's making a case for more minutes and potentially being a closing lineup player if his body allows him, and I think that's big.
I completely agree. The dude's a 40% three-point shooter for his career and looks every bit like it. I mean, he's fucking huge shots all night long. They're going to need him in the postseason. I'm a little worried. Just they might need – they're relying on him a lot right now for a guy that's he shouldn't be playing 30 minutes a game.
I'm not sure his body is up for the pregame thing. Yeah.
That's what, like, we saw what happened. Not that Otto Porter is 38 years old like Andre Iguodala, but Andre Iguodala, we saw if he's playing 30 minutes a game for 5 games in a row, he's going to be done for 2 weeks. So Otto Porter stay healthy, but he brings all the right stuff to the Warriors that they need because Belly's struggling a little bit. He played a little better tonight. But he's struggling a little bit, and the Warriors, you know, Kuminga's still a rookie, so there's not much out there. Kevon Looney doesn't shoot like he does, right? So he's kind of their best option right now. And the Suns, here's the thing. I don't know how effective Ayton is going to be in a series against the Warriors. He had some big shots tonight. I mean, whenever he gets a bucket, you know, the first thing you think about is, oh, my God, the Warriors are too small. But overall, in terms of the points that Ayton scored, it's not like he went 35 for 12 against them, right? So They're going to go small a lot of the times. And
can we hit on this?
Yeah.
Let's hit on this. The talking point is going to be that Ayton giving them problems. To me, the perimeter defense that the Suns played was what actually gave the Warriors 100%. Problems. Like, Ayton got points, but they felt – I don't want to say they were empty points, but it's like, okay, he hit a couple fadeaways with Draymond guarding him perfectly. Good job, man. You know, his points didn't feel particularly effective to me. What felt impactful was Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder and those guys, like, forcing turnovers. Like, the Warriors are turning the ball over down the stretch. If anything, Ayton's perimeter defense was better than anything he did interior-wise. Like, I just don't think any of that interior stuff really mattered all that much.
The sustainable stuff from this game is not going to be Ayton scoring 24 points because if Steve needs to get to it, he's going to go small and that's going to get shut down. Ayton's not going to score on Draymond. What is sustainable is the Warriors not getting open shots against this type of defense. That's sustainable until Steph makes shots, until Steve plays pool more, until Klay comes back, right? So, I mean, let's be honest here. The Warriors were one possession down and they played like complete shit in crunch time. And like, it's not like the Warriors got destroyed by 30 points tonight. So all in all, not the worst game, but it was ugly. It was ugly. Yeah. So, yeah.
To the Ayton point, and I don't want to put this in a wrong way, but it's like when he was scoring on the Warriors, they were losing. It wasn't like that early part of the game where they were trying to hunt the Ayton matchup because they thought that was an advantage. Played into the Warriors' hand. Look at the score in the first half when they were like trying to feed Ayton every possession. And he did a good job. He took advantage of it. He was efficient. But like, it didn't really do anything. What turned the game was them turning up the pressure on the perimeter, and the Warriors being unable to score and just could not stop turning the ball over, which it was a far bigger deal to me.
Yeah. Yeah. But we've seen this happen with the Warriors. I guess I'm going to be a homer here, but the Warriors do this every 10 games or so. I like it when this happens because it forces the Warriors to lock back in and say like, hey, enough with the bullshit, careless stuff, right? And forces them to actually clean up the messy stuff that they've been doing for the bad habits that they've had the last few games. So I expect Friday. I don't think we're going to pod before Friday, but I expect them to be much cleaner on Friday. And I expect, obviously, Steph to at least go for 30 in that game. He's going to be ready to rock.
Golden State Warriors basketball is finally back, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet to find Warriors tickets anymore, because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all NBA tickets. TickPick got rid of all the awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best price on all of their NBA tickets. If you don't believe it, if you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will actually give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. I actually did that for the San Francisco Giants game against the LA Dodgers game one, compared it to another site that I usually use. TickPick was actually cheaper. So there you go. But make sure you go to TickPick for all your Warriors tickets games this season. Visit TickPick.com today to save $10 on your first order of Golden State Warriors tickets. Again, it's TickPick.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
All right, let's get some calls.
Goons time. Let's roll.
Aaron, what's up, my man?
Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. You're coming in loud and clear.
Solid. Well, hey, today's game, I really didn't care too much about the outcome of the score. I was really more interested in seeing the dynamics of matchups, just because these are the teams that are more likely going to be in the WCF. And Chris Paul, although he doesn't have the best record against Steph in the playoffs, I've noticed that it hasn't been the easiest matchups for Steph. As Steph and Draymond have mentioned, some of the most competitive and most difficult series for them were the Rocket series in, I believe, 17 and 18.
Yep.
And I think, like, more than anything, I'm interested to see if there is going to be some type of small tweaks to the 14th and 15th roster spot, considering that CP3 is really great at picking his spots, unless it's against Looney, of course, but really gonna really come to, not necessarily haunt, but it's gonna give the Warriors essentially, I think, the biggest challenge in the West. And kind of a side note, what I noticed in Monty Williams, really interesting seeing how competitive his nature was when he came off onto the
he got teched up. I did not see that coming, right?
I kind of felt like he wanted Steve Kerr to call that timeout because he was excited about his team. And I felt like, I think, I don't want to say he broke character, but I feel like that's something he kind of knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are just my thoughts.
Aaron, appreciate the call. Andy, so I will say this. Chris Paul is not either you're my favorite player, but his teams do play like a slow, grinded out physical style, which is probably the best way to play a Steph Curry, Draymond Green team. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but like you're never going to outrun them. Like LeBron does the same thing. You're never going to outrun the Warriors. You're better off trying to kind of muck it up the way that Chris Paul and LeBron, those guys do.
How did the Cavs win that series in 2016 outside of the injuries and the suspension? Is that they mucked the game up by going big and just pounding the ball into the ground and going ISO and just slowing it down. It's like what the Niners do because Jimmy G can't throw past 5 yards. They just keep running it and just put together an 11-play, 8-minute drive, and all of a sudden half the damn quarter is over, right? And the Niners have a
Jimmy
touchdown.
G CP3?
It's disrespectful to CP3, but I'm down. Because I fucking hate watching Chris Paul play basketball. But like that's kind of like that's what he does so well. You have to respect it. Is that
no? But that's a good point. Like the Niners don't go into they're not trying to get into a shootout because they're like right. we're not going to win a shootout, and like you're not going to win a shootout against a Steph Curry team. So right. Go the opposite way, frustrate him that way. So they're good. I want to ask you this before we get to the next caller. Do you think Phoenix is the biggest threat in the West for the Warriors?
I still think that the Lakers have something. I know that you're going to laugh, but I still am more scared of LeBron and Anthony Davis than a Chris Paul-led basketball team. So that's really it for me. I know that the Lakers are terrible right now and they don't have shooting and all of that, but it's a long basketball season. And I think that the Lakers, I would be more scared of them in the series 5 months from now.
Clutch Lou. No, I do get it because I've always said this. This Laker team is not a threat, but they're always a trade deadline move
LeBron
away from
is.
Being a problem.
He sure is. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, do I think like Malik Monk, Austin Reeves, and Avery Bradley are going to beat the Warriors? No, but like, you know. You get the right pieces around their core, it could be a little difficult. Let's keep moving. Ricky Garcia, what's up, my man?
All right, I'm not really going to be kind of dwelling on this one. I mean, they play again Friday. I think Phoenix is coming off that back-to-back with Detroit that day also, so not going to completely sweat it. But I think what kind of my thing is, you know, like Steve going defense heavy late in these games. I mean, it's kind of obvious, you know, that some of it's going to be, you know, he kind of has a point, you know, it's kind of where Steve leans in his philosophy. But I think, you know, they could do a better job throwing out a Steph save us offense. So my question is, do you think they missed Kenny Atkinson a bit more tonight? You know, knowing that, you know, maybe he could have come up with some better ideas with Steph struggling tonight.
Ooh, interesting question. I'm going to go with no because it's the regular season and a lot of like Chris Chioza, like the utilization of him was partially Steve just like, let's try different things and see what's going on. You know, like using 11, 12 guys, like a lot of that's just about seeing what you have in these moments. So I don't know that, like, you know, Kenny Atkinson would have made a huge difference or anything being on the bench tonight.
Yeah. The hell has he been? Dude's been gone for weeks, it seems like. So I have no idea where he's been. But offensively, I would have liked to seen Steve do something different.
Actually, the problem is you do know exactly where he's been.
Kenny nowhere to be found. Get healthy, Kenny. It would have been nice to see the offense get changed up a little bit. They kind of run in the same stuff with a few tweaks that Chris Paul knows. But again, a lot of it I can't really blame on Steve. It's like when your fucking best player shoots 4 for 21, like you can change up shit as much as you want. You're not fucking winning. You're not winning.
Yeah. Steve can't put the ball in the basket for Steph. All right. Raul's called back in. Let's move him to the front. Raul, you there?
Okay, perfect. Can you hear me now?
Much better. Yes, we can hear you.
I'm sorry. I just got back home. I just connected to the Wi-Fi and I think it should be better. Yeah, so actually it was my first ever NBA game. And I was super excited. Like, oh, I'm going to watch Steph Curry. And I'm telling everyone, yo, I'm going to watch Steph Curry. And I'm so excited. I tell my dad, I tell my mom everything. That, of course, that he was like 4-for-21. I'm so excited. And like before the game, like, you know, Steph has this energy where he just shoots around and like it's a goofball. For some reason, right. Seemed very serious, and then he missed so many shots like before the game, and I feel like the energy was sort of off just to begin with, and I tweeted it out. Ooh. Actually, but like the game, yeah, like the practice shots, he shot like 12 for like 14 or like 18, something like that. He didn't do well. And then I was watching Jordan Poole, right? And then like, how, you know, see, you see how everyone just like plays around and then, you know, just get practice shots. JP tries to do these before the game shots. He pretends to like, okay, he's an actual game. He like runs hard and then goes to the basket. And then shows up to be a lead set to, hey, try to block this shot and then whatever. And then the energy was just, his energy before the game was amazing. So I just sort of knew we would have a good game.
Nice. No, I appreciate those anecdotes. Those are my favorite things. Like when you go to when you go to pregame and you see certain things, stuff you'll never see on a TV broadcast.
Yeah,
that's really what makes it worthwhile. I want to ask you this: what was the atmosphere like there? How much of the crowd is Warrior fans versus Suns fans?
I felt like the place I was sitting, I feel like there were so many Warriors fans. The entire row out of the 20 people, I think 10 of them would be Warriors fans. So many Warriors fans, and they were trying to chant MVP. They were like looking for, hey, like guys, let's chant MVP whenever he like makes a three. And then we never even got a chance to do that. So everyone was so disappointed. And the whole entire row, when we had the turnover, the Draymond turnover before, like I think like a minute left into the game, they just left. Right. Just left the game.
Oh man, that's so disappointing. Ro, we appreciate you calling in. Man, that's what I want to see. I want to see Steph go off to see if he could take over Phoenix, because it feels like basically in every arena, if Steph's going off, it's a home game.
It is. One thing I want to point out that he said is Steph didn't have his usual energy before the game. So either he took it seriously, but it just tells me guy fucking drank too much last night, man. Unreal. This 33 years old, dude. Like the hangovers are gonna last longer, Steph. Like get it together, dude. Like. I mean, come on, man. We gotta do better. I got a 3-day hangover after the Thanksgiving weekend. Steph, figure it out. Pick it up. Let's get ready for Friday.
Nice. McWalters, what's up, man?
Hey, yo. Hey, thanks for, again, doing the playback stuff. That was awesome. Kind of a sucky game for Steph, but whatever. I mean, they were right in it up till the 5-minute mark, down one. Like, I would take that any day of the week. Right. And the fact that they scored 5 points for the next 5 minutes of the game is a super rarity. And we're like so blessed to have Steph that like I never worry about that ever happening. So, you know, it's just one of those things.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I really think there was some things to take away from this game. It was interesting to see how Phoenix played on the perimeter. They also really crashed in on the paint on those drives, which really screwed up Draymond. There was a lot of dunk to Looney with three people on him, a lot of Steph fumbling the ball on his drives, which usually are wide open because teams are so spread out on them. So I think you'll see the Warriors make some adjustments, and you'll see not the type of attack the middle kickouts, but a little more perimeter circling around that'll really open things up for him, and they're going to smoke him in the next one.
Yeah, I'm with you on the I think the Warriors are going to be a good game on Friday. Smoke them. I'm with you. I want to predict that too. But yeah, Phoenix is a good team. The other thing I want to point out is Book was out. And sometimes when that happens, I do think it's kind of a letdown. I do think the Warriors were so jacked up to play this game. Part of it was like both teams were healthy and playing. And when Book was out, I think there was a little bit of like, you know what I mean? I think that kind of ruins the moment. So. We'll see if he plays on Friday. Hopefully he's not out for too long.
We will see if he plays on Friday. I don't think he will.
they're not gonna get killed on Friday. The Warriors are not.
Anyway. I agree with you.
Just because you wrestle alligators for a living doesn't mean you should have the skin of one. Say goodbye to dry and cracked skin with Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash with vitamin B3. Made for 24/7 renewing moisturization with daily use. With scents of vanilla and shea, people will think you've taken up candle making as one of your hobbies. and there is nothing wrong with that. Old Spice Super Hydration Body Wash. Shop Old Spice now.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk?
Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus vests that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We'll keep moving with the yawn. Lucas.
Wow, Lucas with the blue hair. Incredible. It's like an ABG.
Relax.
Hello, guys. I'm from Brazil. Good night. Ooh. It's 3 a.m. right here. And I know you guys briefly mentioned Ayton's size, but in how you guys think that his points were actually relevant, but I really think that size was a problem to us, and I think we really need Wiseman. His presence alone would be very, very much helpful. But what I was actually want to talk about is about the turnovers and how in those games we don't seem to adjust to the turnovers, and we keep playing some really dumb passes and making really dumb decisions. Seems like we can adjust, like slow down, slow the tempo, and think it all through and make the right pass. And Steph tried to play through two straight passes through defenders, like there was no way he was going to be able to make that pass, but still he tried. So yep. That was not actually very smart, and I would like your guys' opinion on that. Thank you.
Lucas, appreciate the call from Brazil.
Light years worldwide, baby. 3 a.m.
Five hours ahead, man. Well, let's talk about the Ayton thing first. Okay. Yep. So how much of an issue do you, because like I think I came with a strong take earlier. But like how much of an issue do you really think he was?
So a couple things. In the regular season, yes. In this type of game, yes, he's going to be a problem. In a postseason series, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem, just because I think that the Warriors aren't going to play Looney as much. They're just going to play Draymond at the five more, and they're just going to turbocharge it, and Draymond's going to hold his ground defensively. The other point I think he said was about Wiseman helping is Wiseman could help. Wiseman is also recovering from a meniscus injury and hasn't played basketball in almost a year. It is not fair to say, to put him in that situation, to say that he's going to help. So I think those are the two things.
Yeah, I feel like the idea of Wiseman's probably better than the actuality of where he would be. I just can't see him helping at games this high level at this stage of his career. On the Steph front, he's 100% dead on. Like, I mean, we talked about the 4-for-21 shooting, but like the turnovers, just the, I mean, credit where credit due with Steph. If he's going to be bad, he's going to really be bad. You know, that was just a terrible game in every possible capacity.
It reminded a little bit of like a game three of the NBA Finals where Steph has that one bad game, and it just makes it look so bad, because like you said, when he's bad, he is bad, right? Like he's not going to be like those stat padding types like LeBron or Russ where they're bad but they still get like 22-8-8, right? Like Steph, mm-hmm. when he's bad, it's 4-for-21.
4-for-21 with the most boneheaded turnovers of all time.
Yeah.
Nanda, what's up, man?
Yeah, I'm from India. I'm not sure if you remember.
There we go.
What's up, man?
So, I'm fine. And how are you guys?
Yeah, doing well.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about three things. Like, one, this is the second consecutive game in which JTA has had second consecutive big game. I remember the last year's Memphis playing game where he had a lot of turnovers. And again, the same here, I think he had like 5 turnovers. So do you think he's struggling a little bit in big games? And the second question is, ever since that Lobos Thanksgiving, Draymond hasn't been as aggressive as he was to start the season. I mean, in this game, I saw a lot of plays where he could have taken the shot. He was literally at the rim and he tried to throw it to Looney. I think that's make him...
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So yeah, also, I'll just complete the third question. So, I mean, I'm sort of having a situation. I'll go on mute. So, I'm not really worried about what Aiden did today because, of course, Draymond is gonna hold against him in playoff series. But what this shows to the other teams in the NBA is like having a really good big man can deteriorate Golden State's defense. Like, I'm not sure if Draymond can hold his own against Giannis, say, in a 7-game series, let alone 2 or 3s. So do you think that is a hole that they need to fill? Because there is no roster spots left. It's dependent on the two centers in Looney.
Okay, those are great questions. All right, let's run through them. By the way, Nando, we appreciate you calling in. So first off, I'm not worried about Steph with big games, just to be blunt with it. He has dumb games here and there, and I wish he wouldn't, but it's just Steph's dumb games.
Because he's a human being, he has bad games.
Yeah.
Because he's not. Even MJ had bad games.
MJ never played a bad game. Now, the second question, the Draymond one to me is the most interesting thing because it was a reverting type of game. And he's had like a couple games in a row now where I'm like, all right, man, you're not really looking to shoot the ball. You're not playing in the flow. You're not doing that sort of stuff. And I'm wondering what's going to change. I thought his energy level was excellent on defense, but he can be better.
I think Draymond needs Clay. He needs another guy out there to pass to. Draymond, I think at this point in his career, isn't going to, as much as we would want him to take that 8-foot floater consistently if he even misses, or that mid-range jump shot, he's not. He needs Klay Thompson out there, and he needs them to space the floor a little bit more and allow Draymond to get more open space so he can get those type of fake dribble handoffs or maybe even an open three. So that's kind of – I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, it always has come down to the Warriors needing Klay Thompson to win the NBA Finals this season. Nobody was under the impression that the Warriors with Steph, Dre, you know, and Jordan Poole would be good enough to win the finals. And I think that's kind of part of what you saw tonight, is that Jordan Poole played as well as he could. Steph played as worst as he could. The Warriors were right there at the end. And, you know, maybe if they had one more shooter out there, that the game would have been different. So I think that's kind of the difference. He had one more question. I think about guys like Giannis. I think that's one thing I am worried about a little bit, is just that he's playing so hard. It's a long season, man. And Draymond's going to have bumps and bruises. They might need to look at resting him a little bit too. So it's kind of long.
Yeah, I mean, they do need to manage the season. And so far they've done a good job of it. But yeah, I mean, if they have to sit, Draymond a couple games in the midseason because he's banged up, like I'll take some losses to ensure that we get Draymond at his max value when it matters, than the opposite. All right, let's keep moving. Dylan, what's up, dude?
Hey, y'all. How are y'all doing tonight?
Good. What's up, man?
Good. I just got a couple things. First thing is I want to know what y'all thought about the officiating the last couple weeks. And I'm not just talking about our games. I'm talking about across the league. It seems like the emphasis on not calling the grifty fouls has kind of gone away, and it's sort of reverted a little bit. And I feel like that's sort of contributed to some of our struggles the last couple games. And the other thing I want to ask is, you guys feel like we had Iguodala, we definitely win this game tonight, or is that just me?
shout out Max Kellerman. Iguodala, W. Yeah.
I agree with that. Just what we saw last season and what I saw tonight was so similar in that in big games, the Warriors have guys that are scared. And you can't blame them. They just haven't played those type of big games. And he's the guy that's not going to make mistakes out there. Like we talked about earlier,
JTA looked. He was either petrified or just wasn't ready. Like one of the.
We talked about this on the last pod. So like we trust the core three. We trust Iguodala in big games. So that's four players. Who else do we trust? Like I trust Jordan Poole. So that's five.
You know, he had a good game tonight, but he's still a rook. Like he's still at 22. You know what I mean? It's really just those four guys.
Well, no, that's wrong. Let me rephrase this. Are you worried about Jordan Poole being scared?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, to rephrase the question. Yeah. I mean, I'm not worried about him being scared.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Are you worried about Otto Porter being scared?
Yeah. Right. I think that's fair. But like,
are you worried about okay, so like I'm trying to figure out, like I think there's seven or eight guys here that I trust them not to be shook is what I'm getting at. And you know, you take out like someone like Iguodala, then it's, you know, it's now you're down to seven, now you're down to six, you know. Those are the type of things that lead to like bad performances.
Yeah. I'm with you. They started playing guys that weren't really ready for tonight's game. Andre Iguodala would have been a breath of fresh air. I tweeted that this is the type of game where Andre Iguodala would have made a couple random threes, just like really ugly threes that he would have made with like shot clock running down, just backbreakers. So just classic Andre Iguodala. He would have had a couple of those tonight. Yeah, they probably win with Iguodala. So he looks like he might play on Friday. So hopefully he'll be back soon.
But here's what what Iguodala would do. Not turn the ball over like a moron 18 times.
Like 23 turnovers tonight. Jesus.
I understand. I mean, first off, he's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the smartest players you'll ever see. And even if he's getting older and all sorts of things, like he still just doesn't make mistakes. Sometimes you just want the player who's not going to make a mistake on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, look, Looney doesn't make mistakes either. You know what I mean? So I kind of trust Looney out there, but Looney's just not as good as Andre. But,
right.
I'm with you. You know, smart guys, smart players, man. You can never have enough of those. Yeah, Andre said till February. Yeah, I'm with that.
Hopefully. Omar, what's up, my man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Quick takes about the game today. Just notice, you know, we've had about four or five games that have gone in the clutch since the start of the season. Lakers, Clippers at the start, and then Memphis, Charlotte, and tonight that we've lost. And, you know, it's not been looking great. Just kind of an interesting takeaway. I think the main takeaway around this team in terms of vulnerabilities going forward. And then the other bit is that, you know, as others have mentioned, part of the theme here is that Kerr, when it's tight, kind of defers to his very defense-oriented lineups. We saw a lot of Looney tonight. And, you know, it's a little hard with this game because, you know, Wiggins kind of looked like he had the MPJ back situation going on, sadly. And, you know, Iguodala and Lee were out, so our wing depth wasn't, you know, particularly great. But I'm wondering, in terms of a question to you guys, we didn't see much of Draymond at the five today, and we have two more games with the Suns coming up. Do you think there's an element of gamesmanship, you know, planning for the playoffs in terms of?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Just you can take it from here.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
And I might not even say gamesmanship as much as experimentation. Like, you might as well try everything right now to see what works and what doesn't. You know, I thought Draymond and Looney together does not work. Hopefully when they get to the playoffs, they're not playing that combo super aggressively against the Suns. You know, Chris Chioza was thrown out there a lot today. Part of that was because they were limited with the bodies they had. Part of that was probably just experimenting with stuff. So I think like part of it's gamesmanship and part of it's like, why not try some stuff, right?
Yeah, I'm more on the line. I think that they know that they're going to play each other in the postseason. And the Warriors and Suns have never played each other in big games. And you are not going to show them that small death lineup until you absolutely have to. Now, part of it's like Clay's not back anyway, and he might play in that Christmas game, but you're not going to show them that lineup until you absolutely have to. And it's not like the Warriors need practice with that lineup. They know what that lineup's about. So you don't play that lineup against these guys until you absolutely have to. And I like that Steve didn't go to it because, you know, this is a win you don't really have to chase.
Yeah, in general, yes. I mean, it's annoying watching them lose, but it's also like, it's a long season. Who really cares, right?
Now, if they lose again on Friday and D-Book doesn't play and they kind of do this again, right, I'd be very concerned for sure.
That's true. I agree with you there. All right, let me give Mar another shot here.
Yo, you guys got me?
Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you guys doing? It's my bad about that last one, man. I don't know what's going on, but
don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know what? I just want to say I'm not really worried about this game, just for the simple fact that, you know, we're missing Iguodala, we're missing D-Lee, guys like Looney, you know, Belly and JTA getting extended minutes in a game where if this was the playoffs, you know, those guys ain't playing more than, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11 minutes in the game, right?
I agree with you there. Yeah,
and you know, so the way I see it, the rotations are going to get tighter as the season go on, and Kerr's definitely experimenting with the rotations and the lineups right now. I think my biggest concern right now, though, is just we saw how basically a blueprint of how to defend this team when they're playing guys like Draymond and Looney for extended minutes and we can't get no spacing. I mean, I know Clay will solve that, but I mean, will this concern you guys basically in the playoffs? I'll take a question out there.
I appreciate it. It will concern me if they're playing Draymond and Looney with no Clay in the playoffs. Like, there's no other way around that. That will concern me, but like, I just don't think they're going to play those lineup combinations. I think they have enough good players and enough shooting to not run into that kind of a mess when the playoffs come around. And if they have to play that kind of lineup in the playoffs because enough players are injured, well, they got big issues, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. The more I think about this game, the less I'm concerned. But you know, we'll wait for Friday.
All right, I think we should end it there. We will wait till Friday. We appreciate everyone who called in. Have a good night. Pot out in the morning.